Introducing Ella Weber, 901 Sharp, on a Tuesday morning. Sefer Mitzvot, number 237, A Lawyer's Dream, because the topic is property damage.
It's nothing to do with being a lawyer. We're in the middle of a whole unit in the Rambam on damages. Okay, last week we did Adam Hamazik. The idea being, if we limit it, last week was basically, I hit you in the face because I'm angry at you. Mm-hmm. Okay?
And five different types of damages.
Right, and the five different types of damages. Yeah. And is it a knas or is it kashlumen or this fascinating thing? Is it some kind of kofar? Is it ransom? Mm-hmm. Right. Because otherwise, shat really should have been ayin tachas, ayin shein tachas shein, that you lose a limb. But the Torah said you could buy your way out of it, which is a chiddush, but a fascinatingly interesting chiddush, and one which we'll bump up against now, because if we just start with the psukim, which is always a really good place to start, you'll see something that came up last week, and then we'll build from that. Okay, the Torah says in Amor that there are two real parashios in the Torah that deal with the issue of damages. I guess I should be clear myself. If last week was, I damage you, me, human being, damage you, human being, this week is me, human being, owner of something that damages you.
Sure.
Okay, it's not, for the most part, meaning it does include
sure.
me, it does include me, but what we're talking about is, I guess maybe the better way to say it is, it's not you as a person, right? It's something that you own. The thing that I damage mm-hmm. of yours is something you own, not you yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we talk about car accidents and things like that, we have to try to keep that in mind and try to separate out. The two main parashas in the Torah, it exists in Amor, which is where we start, and it exists in Mishpatim as well. Okay, so let's read Psukim, just because it will help put it in context. Says the Torah in Parak Chav Dalet in Amor, V'ish ki yakeh kol nefesh adam mot yumat. Okay, what's that?
Yakeh. What does the yakeh mean?
I guess yaka. Hit.
It's schlep. It's
lahakot is to hit. A makah.
So boy, see, just
hit. No. So what does it mean? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? It means he dies. Right? V'ish ki akeh kol nefesh adam mot yumat doesn't mean every time, take an example that we discuss, every time I go to the Kotel and somebody hits me, right? No, this is capital punishment, right? If you kill somebody, you get killed. Okay? And then look, here's interesting. U'makeh nefesh beheima yishalimena nefesh tachat nefesh. This goes back to last week. Who notices what's so fascinating about this? What does the Pasuk say? What's the substance of Pasuk Yud Ches?
Nefesh behemah.
Good. Okay, that's interesting, but that wasn't
the
what I was supposed to say. What happens if you kill an animal? What do you have to do?
For a life. You have to pay damages.
You have to pay damages.
Right.
No, but it's this. That's why it's easier to understand ayin tachas ayin as not being literal. Because the pasuk says yishalmena, which clearly is what? Money.
Monetary.
Right. Okay.
Then it says nefesh tachas nefesh. Mm-hmm. We don't normally think of the phrase of nefesh tachas nefesh being a payment. That's a punishment. Mm-hmm. Right? So here you start to see that Chazal had other examples where the Torah's language is vague. And it happens to be that the language isn't just here. It's not like the Torah, the Chazal saw it here and applied it elsewhere. It's the next pasuk. This last week. V'ish ki yitein mum ba'amito ka'asher. So, I'm sorry, Yud Ches, that's our pasuk. That's this week to a certain extent. If you kill an animal, you have to pay. What do you pay? Nefesh tachas nefesh. How is that payment? We'll see. The next pasuk. This is last week. V'ish ki yitein mum ba'amito, if you wound your fellow, ka'asher asa kenye aselo. As he did, so will be done to him. Shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, ka'asher yitein mum ba'adam kenye natein lo. Okay? And then another pasuk that we need for this week, it's sandwiched around it, chaf aleph, u'makeh beheima yishalamena, u'makeh adam yumat. If you damage, or maybe even if you kill a behemah, you have to pay. If you kill a person, Yumat. Now, one second.
Between
what? Rashi. Rashi says, right beneath, Umakebe Ma'ishalmena Lemala Pasuk Yudchet Diber Behoreg Behema. That Pasuk deals with you killed an animal. Vikan Pasuk Chaf Aleph Diber Ba'oseb Bachabura. So if you kill an animal, then the din of Nefesh Tachas Nefesh applies, whatever that means. If you injure an animal, then Yishalmena. Then there's just payment. Okay? Everybody clear? So there's two cases. One is you kill the animal. There, it's payment, but it's nefesh tachas nefesh, whatever that means. Then there's the second case of you injure the animal or you injure the property. There, it's just monetary payment. Yes?
In a society that doesn't really have a lot of currency, could it mean that when your very nice animal kills his animal, he really could take your animal in place? And that's like payment? Or is it always just... evaluation of money.
My instinct is, because it's you, is to say you're wrong.
I don't know enough.
I think when it talks about nefesh tachas nefesh, the sense you get on a deeper level is not just you don't have money, so you give the animal. The sense is, in some theoretical level, an eye for an eye, an animal for an animal. It happens to be that when we get into, which we won't do today, you know, a shor muad pays nezek shalem, and a shor tam pays chatzi nezek. There, vahamesi hielo, they almost trade animals, yeah. Right? It does serve as a form of payment. I don't know if that's what's going on here.
But this doesn't apply today at all.
Of course it does. You ever been in a car crash?
Do you have an animal that you have?
No. You got to be a little more. You got to expand. You got to open your mind.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of animals.
We now have property.
I myself, I don't want to brag. I own property. I have a house. You know, I have furniture in my house. If you come into my house, which, God willing, one day you will, okay, and you break my TV, which isn't really plugged in, doesn't work that well, right? We would then look in these psukim.
You have a TV, Ali Weber?
It doesn't work. It's unplugged, Bruce. No.
What happens is when we want to watch something, we move it, right. It's like a frum screen. For example, like when we want to watch my wedding video, no. You can hook it up to a computer.
Okay.
So that, you know.
I don't have a TV. I have a computer. I can do everything on it.
Okay, great. So you have a computer. It means you're interested in the sugya. Because if something happens to your computer, right, you would like to be compensated for it.
I have a button this morning.
Right. Now you're just showing off.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. No, I think we can all agree. Yes, you are. Okay, but fine. You have a computer and you did a button half Gemara.
Coming this January, yeah. I'll finish my third time the whole Gemara.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I think you should bring breakfast. I think we should celebrate together. It's a major achievement.
Next week.
Not like cookies. Omelets. I think we're talking about omelets. You know, have like an omelet station. Get that woman there. You can go and ask her what you want. You know,
what doesn't do it? It's okay.
Now you have to pay somebody.
This is a men's scholar. We don't bring women.
Okay, no, for working purposes.
Well,
okay, fine. Now let's back up for a second. And ask a fundamental question that needs to be asked and that Achronim really deal with widely, and that is there something wrong with damaging somebody's property? Meaning, the Torah lays out that if you do it, you have to pay, right? But is there like an Isser Torah to do it?
Probably.
You understand the question? Yeah. One second. Let's just understand.
Yeah.
And maybe, one second, maybe there's a difference between Shogeg and Mazid. Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's say I'm invited to the Siyum HaShas in your house, and I'm holding my hot chocolate, I don't like coffee. Hold my hot chocolate, I spill it on your computer by accident. Right? Is that like Chil Shabbos? Is that like Shogeg Chil Shabbos, which is you did something wrong? Mm-hmm. Or is that, no, that doesn't have anything to do with it. If I do that, I have to pay you, but I wasn't over an Isser, right? Or the other thing, I intentionally spill my hot chocolate on you, on your computer, but you know what? I'm a rich guy. I'm not joking. I really am.
Yeah.
You know, so I spill it on it, and then I roll off a couple of hundreds, like in the Godfather. They had this scene where they smash the camera. They go, you know, and I give you the money.
That's you watch too much TV.
Is I have a TV.
It's a movie.
Okay, is that's a classic. Yeah. Okay. Is there an is? Are we talking about Isurim, or are we just talking about payments? Okay. And eventually, because as you recall, this is a Shir and Sefer HaMitzvos, right? And Sefer HaMitzvos is all the Mitzvos d'oraisa. This is going to implicate some kind of mitzvah, but it doesn't necessarily mean. What do we think?
My friend was trying to sleep at 9 o'clock in the morning like he always does, and someone's horn was stuck. So he went down, he broke the window, he turned the horn off, and went back to bed. He was willing to pay for this. Right, is that an example?
How do you turn the horn off? I wouldn't know how to
remember.
I know how to break a window.
So is that an example?
Okay, so that's it. Right, he didn't do it out of anger. He wasn't trying to hurt the person. Basically, he said, I would rather, break in your car, shut off your car alarm, and be able to sleep, and I'll pay you. Right? Maybe that's the best way to frame the question. Does that implicate halachos in the Torah? Or what do we think? So Bruce immediately...
Because there's an issue of wounding. You can't wound someone.
But let's see, this is an easier case,
Well, that's equivalent. You can't damage someone. Well,
who said?
I think the Torah must say. You can't...
Again, I'm not... We're talking about property damage. We're not talking about
stuff,
the person.
Stuff.
I'm saying, and that's it, right? Let's assume in the best... You're not trying... some things are easy, right? The guy's double parked and your wife is in labor. Okay, so that, so you smash it, you break his emergency brake, you roll him, fine. But I think that's a better example. It's just bothering you that the car alarm is blaring, and you break the window,
that's
and you shut off the car alarm, and you leave a note saying, this is my phone number, let me know how much it costs for you to put in a new car alarm, hopefully one that won't blare all Shabbos long, and I'll pay you. Okay? Does that implicate an Issur Torah?
Okay.
So, it's very, very hard to find sources on this. There is no Pasuk, and almost certainly there is no Rambam that deals with it. Again, not because I know every Rambam, because people who know every Rambam seem to say that there is none. Nevertheless, there are sources. Look at source number two. The Tur, right, the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, says as follows. There are two separate ones, and they're great. Says the Tur, Kishem she'asur ligno v'ligzol. Right, everybody understands that it's prohibited to steal, right? Yeah, you can't steal the guy's car. Kach asur lahazik mamon shelo. So it's pretty clear, right? The Torah says that property damage is akin to theft. Afilu imeino nehene. And here's interesting. The Torah assumes that the reason why theft is prohibited is because after you theft, you have the object, right? There's something particularly offensive about that because you used to have a flat screen TV. Now I have a flat screen TV, and the coincidence is that what used to be yours is now mine. So the Torah assumes that Geneva and Gezela, again, Geneva being theft, Gezela being like armed robbery, they're prohibited because you, the criminal, are benefiting, right? Says the Torah, don't think that way. And if you don't think that way, we can include within Geneva and Gezela property damage. Okay? Kevan, second line of two. Kevan shemaziko, bein b'mezid, bein b'shogeg, right? I accidentally spilled my hot chocolate on your computer. I didn't mean it, I didn't mean to do it. Chayav l'shalem, u'bilvad shelo yehe anus. Say, so the Torah says, no, the Torah says it is usur to damage the property of your friend, just like it's usur to steal from your friend. Ah, you'll say, but when you steal, you're benefiting. And when you damage, you're not benefiting. It's just an accident. No, he moves it over from the category of just mamonos, it seems to me, to the category of isur v'heter, and it's usur. So in which case, it would be usur to break your friend's car window to shut off the alarm, even if you're willing to pay. Just like it would be usur to steal from him, even if you're willing to pay for it. Right? Here, do an easier case. Your TV breaks. Okay, it's this coming Sunday. Okay, it's an emergency. You're having a Super Bowl party, right? All of the whole kollel is coming over. hint. Okay, the whole kol is coming over. So what do? Your TV broke.
Are you inviting us?
You take somebody else.
You break into your friend's apartment because you know that he's not a football fan.
He's got a big TV screen.
And you take his TV. By the way, you haven't noticed this. In America, you can always buy, there's always sales for large screen TVs. But around the Super Bowl, there's a no return policy. Because apparently, right, you go look at the ads, it's in the small print, because apparently Americans think it's a great idea to buy a TV on Friday and give it back, buy the 72-inch, you know, plasma, whatever, on Friday and return it on Monday. Turns out you don't really like it. You just needed it for one night.
They do that in Lakewood, I think.
Stop. You have to stop. You're an anti-Semite.
I think there's the Jews of Lakewood.
Okay, right. The two Goyim left in Lakewood. Both Goyim are having a Super Bowl party. And they. Okay, fine. So the first thing is, what's interesting about this is the tour, who's taking a strong position saying that it's morally wrong, it's an isser, he's got no source. What did he do? He basically said, it's covered by Genevo Gazelle. Just pointing out, you could argue with that. None of us ever thought to ourselves that property damage is akin to theft. To a certain extent, the tour didn't have a better source, so he came up with this.
Unless you say that Geneva and Zayla is depriving the person of, meaning think about what it's causing to him, not what it's benefiting you.
And okay, good. And I think that's a great explanation of the tour. I'm admitting I never thought in those terms. I think it's a chiddush. Now that he said it, I think you're probably right. If you define the crime as depriving somebody of property rights, then there should be no difference. He does the same thing a few simanim later in Shin Pei Tes, also in source number 2. He says, Kishem she'asul adam she'yazik et chaveiro. Right? This is not property damage, this is personal damage. Right? You can't damage your friend. Vim hizik chayav l'shaleim, kach tzarich lishmor mamono, Shelo yazik, v'im hizik chayav l'shalein. Lo shna yesh bo ruach chayim, lo shna ein bo ruach chayim. It's very similar to the first one. The first one, the Torah said, just like you can't steal, right, you can't damage property. The second one, the Torah said, just like it's prohibited to damage a person's physical body, so too, and he says it in a strange way, so too, tzarich lishmor mamono shelo yazik. This is a completely different approach.
Mamono kagufa.
Right, which didn't have to be the case. In one case, if you damage a person's property, it's like you stole, right? It's like that's the lotase portion. In the other case, just like you have to be respectful of a person, you have to be respectful of the person's property. But in each case, let's be clear, the tour has no real source. So it's a big discussion in Achronim whether damaging property involves Isser v'heter, you have to pay for the damages.
What about indirect damages?
So that's probably the same. We'll have to talk about that, right? It's easy to just talk about damage. A prat in the discussion of damage is what constitutes damage, right? If I hit your car, and your car's emergency brake's not on, and it rolls, and it's another car, right? That gets into the details.
If you hit my car, and I now have to spend to get my car towed, and then take a cab.
No, but that's easier.
That's part of the damage.
Well, so we saw that. It's interesting. With respect to personal damages, we saw that last week, right? Sheves, boshes, reput, pagat, right? The question is whether that plays out also here. My guess is it does, but that's a later discussion.
Do we have a concept of contributory negligence? So if you do double park and block your car, you've got to get
out. I want to say no, but the general answer in halacha is no. That this chayv and potter and usur and mutter, and but there are details in which that plays out. Maybe we'll get there. But
Nevatzman. Stealing.
Yeah, no, I know what it means, but
let's say you double park and block traffic.
Right.
That's considered nevatzman. There's an issue there. I don't know where I'm
at. Okay, look, I happen to think that people who double park other people in it should be, you know, subject to a death penalty. It's like it's a morally bankrupt thing to do. Right. Like certain things are just morally bankrupt. You just know you live in a society where that's...
Unless you have the emergency. You know, you got to do it. There's an emergency. You got to do it. I mean, it's always
generally speaking. Analyze it. The definition of emergency, you know,
yeah. I've got to get to the store.
Different people. I'm extremely hungry, and I'm afraid there won't be any eggs left at the bris I was invited to. So I'm double parked.
I meant, is all these factors taken into account, or is it just black and white?
No, no.
In terms of contributing negligence, if two people beat up a guy, right? Ostensibly, they would both be mechuyav to pay for his.
So again, I don't want to get into the details because there are things like bor bishus sarabim is one of the nezeks we're going to get to. So it could be that technically you get out of it because you dug five tefachim and he dug four tefachim.
And
you know,
four were the
whatever. It's hard to know. Now, another theory, and this is really fast. Another theory under which the person who would be an iser v'heter issue to damage property is brought up in Rabbeinu Yonah in the first Mishnah novel, source number 3. Moshe Kibbol Tomi Sinem Sar Yoshua. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Bein Torah Shebichsav, Bein Torah Sheba'al Peh. This goes back to last week. He says when Moshe got the Torah at Har Sinai, he didn't just get the words of the Torah. He came down with the explanation given to him by God. Literally, Halach L'Moshe Misinai, meaning when we talked about last week, the Rambam said this. When Moshe came down and he told them, the Pasuk says, Ayin Tachas Ayin, at that time he said to them, but it doesn't mean Ayin Tachas Ayin. So the Rabbeinu Yonah is starting in the same way. You have to understand when it says Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, it doesn't just mean Chamisha Chumshe Torah, it means with Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Okay? Second line, Shehat Torah B'Feirusha Nitna. The Torah was given with its explanation. She'im Lo Kein, if it wasn't the case, E.F. Shar Lemadabe, you couldn't understand it. Share Katuv Lo Tigzol, it says no stealing. V'chol Nizikin Bichlal Oto Halav. But we know that property damage is part of Lo Tigzol. V'hein Hein HaTorah, Shehaya Kabbalat Moshe B'Sinai, Afa Pishalon Nichtavu. Rabbeinu Yonah says a very loaded thing. He says, I'll say it in my way. He says basically the Torah would be impossible to understand if it was just given as Torah Shebichsav. Right? If I ask you, here's an interesting thing. If I ask you what's the halacha of anything, what's the last book you look in? The answer is a chumash. You look in Shulchan Aruch, you look in all, you look in a Rambam, look both. We don't think of Torah Shebichsav as being a reference book that we would look at to figure out if I ask you what the bracha is on anything, you know it's not in the Torah, right? All these things. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's inconceivable. It's like a historical point. He says it's inconceivable that Moshe brought down the Torah and just gave the Torah Shebichsav, right? Because, for example, the way I imagine it, Moshe says to them, you know, Kol Malacha Lo Ye'aseh, right? On Shabbos you can't do Malacha. Some guy raises his hand and says, what's malacha? Right? I don't understand. What is it? Shabbos seems like a really big deal. What's malacha? So Rabbeinu Yonah would say, well, of course Moshe told them what malacha was then. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense. Right? Maybe we've talked about this before, but we haven't. It's fascinating. When the first citizen's arrest in the history of the world was the Mekoshesh Eitzim. Right, they said this guy is gathering wood on Shabbos, and they bring him to Moshe. L'deyam ma'ay aselo, and Chazal say there, l'deyam ma'ay aselo, they knew that he was chayev misa for violating the Torah, for being mechal Shabbos. They just didn't know which misa. And I always think the same thing. Why didn't the guy say, hey, where does it say in the Torah that I'm not allowed to do this? Right? Why was it so obvious? How did the people know that he was in violation of Torah law? It doesn't say any place that you're not allowed to gather wood on Shabbos. And one second, my turn. And a lot of people point out, that's how you know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just give them the psukim. Because the context of these stories that exist in the Torah imply that people understood more than would possibly be practical if you just had the psukim. So Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, here's the good example. Rabbeinu Yonah says, it is the case that it's prohibited from the Torah to damage somebody's property. It doesn't say in any place. Well, it kind of does. Because our assumption is that when Moshe Rabbeinu said Lo Tigzol, and then he explained what he meant, what God meant by Lo Tigzol, he said, this includes property damage. Okay? Simple. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says it doesn't have to tell us exactly because we understand. Does it make it, you know, exactly Halacha Moshe Mitzvah? Not sure. Other examples. The Yad Ramah, one second. The Yad Ramah says that the prohibition of property damage is the Isser de Oraisa of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mishol. Right? Because literally, what does the Pasuk mean? You're putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, right? What's the result? Property damage. Maybe damage to his person also, but you put something in front of his car. So, fascinating side point, but it really is fascinating. We believe that Pshat in the Pasuk of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mishol means that you're not allowed to give bad, you're not allowed to intentionally give bad advice. Lifnei Hasuma B'davar, meaning the guy doesn't know anything about investing. And you're like, no, now's a great time to invest in China. You know, what could go wrong? Okay, now he doesn't know anything about China, but you know that like the world, God forbid, the world's next pandemic, you know, is happening in a place there. And so afterwards, now, why is that Pshat? Why isn't the Pshat simply physically putting the stumbling block in front of a blind person? The answer is because the Pasuk says, V'yareisam Elokecha Ani Hashem. And we have a klal that whenever the Torah uses the phrase V'yareisam Elokecha, it means it's davar ha-masur lelev. Why do I have to worry about God? To worry about God, because otherwise no one will ever be able to convict me. Because it's my motivations that matter, right? So therefore, if I put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, two witnesses could testify that I did that. But if the real pshat in the pasuk is, I gave bad advice intentionally, obviously there no one could prove to me that I did it intentionally. So therefore, v'yareisam Elokecha. Now, the Yad Ramah is one of the only people who reads the pasuk literally. And I have a friend, and I'm mentioning it now, because I just realized he's undergoing surgery now. This guy, Howie Walter, he's a tzaddik. We should learn for Refuah Shleimah for him. I don't remember his full name. He once was walking in Mea Shearim, and there was one of these, like, you know, hafganot going on where they're, like, moving, burning trash cans. And he yelled at these guys, you know, Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mishol. Ayin Yad Ramah Sanhedrin Pei Gimel Amud Beis, where he says, no, literally, you're putting a stumbling block in front. Okay, for the most part, we think that that's not Lifnei Iver. But if damaging property is Lifnei Iver, what does it really mean? There is no particular prohibition on damaging property. Therefore, we include it within the general morality of the Torah, which is a real, you know, a real thing, the general morality of the Torah. The other one, which is similar, is V'yahavta L'recha Kamocha. Right? If you damage property, you're in violation of V'yahavta L'recha Kamocha, because obviously you don't want somebody coming into your house and breaking your computer, so you shouldn't do it to somebody else.
Is there any difference between...
I don't know. To me, there's a difference between...
If I damage, let's say, a car accident.
Good, yeah.
It's an accident.
Right.
But I have to pay.
So it depends. I presume, you know, again...
In general, if I damage some property with somebody, I gotta pay.
We'll get to car accidents, but presumably car accidents...
Surely you're not.
Car accidents are similar, right? They're property damage. The problem with car accidents is that usually there are two people involved in driving. The easier case is you hit a parked car. Okay, if you hit a parked car, that's the case we're talking about. There is no contributory net. There's no one else. You did it. You have to pay. The question is, when you hit the parked car, according to the Yad Ramah, you are in violation of some kind of Torah law. You have to do tshuva for it. I'm saying... The part we're focused now on is the philosophic part. If I hit a parked car, did I do something wrong that I need to do tshuva for? Do I need to apologize to the person? Do I need him to forgive me? Do I need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness? Separate and apart from the fact that, of course, I have to pay for the damage. Or is it, no, I hit a parked car, okay, big deal. I'm a rich guy, I write a check, I move on. I think that's a significant question. Like the Torah's approach to damage, I think, really depends on. And the sense I get is, despite the fact that it's hard to find a source in the Torah for this, everybody wants to find a source in the Torah for this. And for the most part, we paskin that if you hit a parked car, you have to apologize and you have to do tshuva in addition to, of course, paying for damages.
Why not assume that everything is Torah Shabbat Peh, really, until Moshe gave the written Torah? Everything, of course, was...
There was no Torah Shabbat Peh before.
There's only Torah Shabbat Peh. What's written? He's giving it to him in writing 40 years later. So, of course, everything is oral with all
so,
the...
So, but you're wrong on the fact. We believe that Moshe came down from Har Sinai, and whether it was written at the time or not, gave over the Torah. Word for word.
But with the explanation?
Yeah.
Obviously with the
explanation. Yeah, with the explanation.
And then he's giving the hard copy later. I mean, it's a...
Or he gave it then. That's a machlokas. He may have given it then, other than stuff that didn't happen yet. Okay?
What if property is being used for nefarious or evil purposes?
What a great word.
Nefarious.
No one says nefarious. That's a good word. Okay, what about it?
So, well, and
so I'm transporting cocaine, and I hit your parked car?
Or medicinal.
Which is like such a stupid thing to do. I always think to myself, if you have cocaine, drive carefully, for God's sakes. It's not going to be good.
It could be, yeah.
Well, this is medicinal.
Not be good.
There's no medicinal cocaine.
They put it in Coca-Cola.
Okay. I don't...
I mean, somebody might be using a dwelling...
So I would like to think that it's prohibited even if it's for a good purpose. I'm saying even if you're transporting somebody to the hospital, you're doing a mitzvah, you hit a parked car, according to most poskim, you did something wrong and you have to apologize. Okay. Now, finally, we can look at the Rambam, the Rambam will not be helpful, but we're trying to sort our way through this. The Rambam says in source number 4, right, mitzvah 237, which is what we're up to, v'amitzvah havreish lamed zayin, he shet sivanu ladun bedin hashor. Now let me explain. The beginning of Bava Kamma has a famous Mishnah. This is like all of Bava Kamma, which is the four avot nezikin. Shor, Bor, Mava, and Heveh, which I don't want to get into each one. The Rambam lists each one separately, right? That we have a mitzvah ladun bidinei hashor. We have a mitzvah ladun bidinei haheveh. Heveh is fire, by the way. Whoever asked before, that's causation. Mm-hmm. Right? The classic case is I'm barbecuing my backyard and it catches fire to a tree, whatever, and it goes into your yard. I obviously didn't do it on purpose, right? I didn't mean to do it. That's the source in halacha for, you know, causing damages. Okay? These are the arba avos nezikin. Now, to just let you know, the Rambam has four separate mitzvahs. Each one, ladun bidin hashor, ladun bidin, you know, haheven, ladun bidin, right? And you can't really figure it out. He says, shizvan ladun bidin hashor, v'amaro yitaleh, v'chiyigach shorish, v'chiyigov shorish, right? We'll come to the psukim in a second. And he says, "Ukfarit bar dikduk din ze b'shisha prakim harishanim b'mesechus kamma." Right? This is six full psukim, six full prakim in Bava Kamma. Right? This is years and years of work, but we're trying to just lay it out. So, what we've been discussing now as generally property damages turns out in the Rambam there are four separate mitzvahs. Each is a subcategory of the general category called property damage.
Because we learn something different from each one of those
right.
four.
Now,
so
that itself is a major machlokes. Right. Some monei hamitzvos have one category of damages and four subcategories. The idea of avot nizikim, the word av, reminds us of what?
From Shabbat.
Avot melacha on Shabbos, which is, it's a category which subsumes subcategories. Interestingly, and this is a really interesting question, the Rambam only has one prohibition for doing melacha on Shabbos, right? Which has within it 49 categories. Why the Rambam has four separate categories for damages when he could have done the same exact thing, right? That's a big discussion in commentaries on the Rambam. And I don't really have any great thing to say. The two things I can't answer is, one, why the Rambam has four separate categories, and two, why the Rambam never says that the damage itself is asur. Right? Again, if you look carefully in 4, HaMitzvah of that, he shetzivanu ladun bidin hashor, means, even if you want to expand it to society, which I do, right? We discussed this last time. When it says ladun bidin hashor, does that mean it's a mitzvah just for Beis Din? My view is no. If Beis Din doesn't do it, we are obligated to set up a Beis Din, right? I think we often abrogate this obligation even within Efrat. We're like, listen, there's a chief rabbi of Efrat, he'll deal with it, right? there's a moitzah, they'll deal with it. I think sometimes the answer is no. The mitzvah is on us to make sure that somebody's dealing with it. It's true. It's hard for us to deal with it, and maybe we can't make a citizen's arrest, although I will show you in the end that maybe we can.
Maybe he thought it was so evident that it was muvan me'lav, you know.
No, but that won't answer the Rambam. The Rambam puts, you know, belief in God as a mitzvah. He thinks it's muvan. There's a plenty of things, you know. I would think that lo tirtzach is muvan me'lav, right? Okay, it's a pasuk. Anyway, but the Rambam, the answer to Rambam may be it's not in a pasuk.
There's no pasuk.
So therefore, I'm not making an issur d'oraisa. You know, it's hard to know. Let's look at the psukim that explain each of these separate categories. And by the way, this might be the answer. When you look for the 49 malachos of Shabbos, 30, I'm sorry, 30, I just said it to you, you know, right? I confused it with Sfiras Omer. Okay. When you look for the number of malachos on Shabbos in the Torah, it's not there, right? It's all learned from a hekesh to what they needed to do to build the Mishkan, so it's not there. Maybe that's the explanation for the Rambam. If the Torah doesn't separate them in Psukim, I'm not going to separate them. But here, I'm about to show you, the Torah really does separate the Nezikin. There's probably more words describing Nezikin in the Torah than there is describing Shabbos.
I hate to say it, but that's a good proof.
I appreciate the fact that you hate to say it. Okay. Source number 5. Says the Torah in Shmos Perek Chaf Aleph in Mishpatim, it just lays it out. V'chiyigach shor et ish o et ishav amet, if an axe gores, you know, a man or a woman, and the person dies, sakol yisakel ashor. By the way, this is not damages. We're basically going to kill the animal who killed a human being.
Right.
Not for, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with damages. V'lo ye'achel b'saro, right? The animal is completely prohibited. You can't get any hana from it. Ubal ashor naki. But
why? Yeah.
Oh,
why?
Because it's like this thing. It's an asherah, meaning this animal killed a human being. Therefore,
Baal ashor naki.
Because the understanding is it's a short time. You did everything you could to protect it. You locked him up in your barn. It had 100, you know, 100 locks on it. In a miracle, the shor broke out of your barn, killed somebody. So the answer is, look, the shor has to die. That has to be.
Why?
Okay.
Did they break your car?
No, it's a short time. Why?
Because the shor tam, the shor tam is responsible for the death of a human being. That is not forgiven in any way. And the answer is, by the way, I hate to say it, it's an animal. In the Torah, there's a difference between human beings and animals.
Some kind of emotional retribution, you know, that we're trying to...
Well, to some extent, yes. Meaning, I shouldn't have to look at the ox that, God forbid, killed my neighbor.
To address your car that killed someone?
Okay, so interestingly, like a month ago, there was, sadly in Israel, there were car accidents all the time, okay? It was a terrible car accident that killed a child and the father. He's a guy from Gush. So in the yeshiva, you know, it was very meaningful. We said to him, a lot of people know him. Rav Meidan gave a fascinating sicha. And Rav Meidan is very creative. In which he said that we don't take car accidents seriously enough, as we all know. But he said the worst thing about car accidents is that we all pay for it together because it's just insurance. And he suggested the following. It's interesting. He said, as far as he's concerned, if you're involved in a car accident, right? Doesn't matter, no fault. If you're involved in a car accident and there's a fatality, they destroy your car. There's a ceremony in which they destroy your car.
Wow.
Emotionally, right? That would change how we look at it. Now, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I hope it's my 12-year-old station wagon that's worth 500 shekel, you know, and not my Porsche. I don't really have a Porsche. Okay? But the idea that, you know, sakol yisakel ashor, that's like a philosophic, meaningful thing, like it or not, he used that as an example. By the way, the other thing he said was, he thinks if you're involved in a car accident and somebody dies, you lose your license forever. And it's like going to Golos. That's it. Wow. You know, I'm just saying, but he used these psukim.
Until there's a new prime minister.
That could take some.
Right. No, I think it's the head of Bagatz. It's not. Okay.
I'm thinking new.
Okay. Okay. Next. Now here's the point. Now you'll like it better. V'imshar nagachu mitmol shilshom. But if you really should have guarded your shore, because you knew, which by the way might translate very well into car accidents, right? If you buy a Porsche and it does 240 kilometers an hour comfortably, my guess is you have a higher level. I'll say this. Do it in an easy case. You have a Porsche and you lend it. You know, you give it to your 18-year-old son, right? Right. I think that's different than giving your station wagon, which can't go above 100 kilometers. You know, I think there might be a sliding scale of responsibility. So v'imshar nagachu mitmol shilshom, right? It's a sports car. It's dangerous. V'huad v'valav lo yishmarenu, and people said to you, listen, you got to be careful with this car. It's dangerous. V'heimit o ish o isha hashor yisakel v'gam ba'alav yumat. Now, it doesn't really mean that, right?
You don't kill the
owner. We don't kill the owner.
Right.
But now you get into it, it's clearly bumping it up into a level of culpability and what have you. This is a case where I would say you're allowed to buy your way out. But you're buying your way out of a theoretical death penalty. The Torah allows you to do that, much like the Torah allows you to buy your way out from losing your eye or losing your arm. But if you're just the idea that, like, okay, there's a death penalty on you. Now, in the end, they don't enforce it. But, you know, there's a message there, right? Like, if it was me, and they sentenced me to death, and they told me how I can get out of it, that'd be a lot different than if they sentenced me to pay a fine of 500,000 shekel. Like, I think it would do something to me personally, and maybe it would do something to society in a way that we're not used to, right?
How do you know that this is not taken literally?
Because I know. I'm sorry to say, I just happen to know that.
If you're riding the shore...
Huh?
If you'd be riding the animal, like,
he's driving a car.
Right? Is it like, and would you be more liable to possibly?
So now you get to. I don't want to deal with this, but it's obviously the case, right? If you were riding your shore and you saw an infant, and you drove over him intentionally, I think that becomes a different case than just a damages case, right? If you ran over, sometimes this happens. It's like it's hysterical because it's tragic, right? They have like film of her backing up over her husband after she got him the first time. Right? You go on YouTube. You can see these things. You know, like crazy case where somebody kills somebody with a car. And they always claim it was an accident. And then the closed circuit camera film comes out. And you see her. She ran over him. Then she went into reverse and ran over him. Then she ran over him again. Right? Okay. That's not a car crash. Right?
That's murder.
That's murder.
Yes.
Okay, so you know we have to be careful of how we break these things down.
Yeah.
Okay, but first things first. So you see, well, all I want to show you is that the Torah devotes psukim just to the nezek called shor.
Uh-huh.
Now, pasuk lamed gimel. By the way, there are many more psukim. I just didn't quote it all. Bottom of the page. Totally separate parsha. V'chi yivtach ish bor. If you make a pit in rishus harabim. Right, you're allowed to make a pit in your backyard. They're called swimming pools, right? But you can't do it in Rishus Eibor. Ochi Yichre Ishbor V'lo Yichasenu. Basically, you make a public nuisance in a place where people could be damaged. V'nafal Sham Ashor Ochamor, and someone falls in. Bal Habor Yishalem Kesef Yashiv Livolov V'hameit Yihielov. Okay, he gets to keep the animal. He has to pay. This is a separate parsha in the Torah. Somehow, it's different than Shor, right? And it really does work, bizman hazeh, for us. Because it really does apply to swimming pools. So, for example, nobody makes a swimming pool in Rishus HaRabim. But if you make a swimming pool in your backyard where children could see it from Rishus HaRabim, and you don't put a fence up, that might be bor Rishus, that might be bor Rishus HaRabim. But again, the point is, unlike other places in the Torah, here, this is a full-fledged description of each type of damage. Flip over, and you find again. You make a fire, but it leaves your yard. It finds thorns, and it burns down your neighbor's yard or your neighbor's house. Okay? So all I want to point out is that the Torah chooses to expand on Nezikin in a way that it really doesn't do very often. Right? And maybe that's the answer to the Rambam. And the reason might be This I don't know for sure, and it's always a dangerous thing to say, why does the Torah spend so much time describing this and so little time describing that? That's a mystery that I'm not here to answer. But if you go back, go down to 12, which is the Sefer Achinuch that we saw last week, but it's helpful to remind ourselves. Shorash mitzvah zo, u'bichlal ma sheva b'Torah b'inyan hadin. Everything in the Torah that has to do with interpersonal relationships and damaging one to the other, einit tzarich liga achar ta'amo shel davar. The Chinuch says, I don't have to spend time describing to you why. Ki davar muskalhu. It's obvious. Anybody with a brain, anybody with any intelligence understands. Shim ein mishpat, there's no law, if there's no justice, lo yit yashvu b'nei adam, v'lo yamdu yachdav l'olam. People, you can't have a society in which somebody can damage somebody else, either himself or his property, and the law isn't enforced, right? You can't live like that. V'i'ef shar la'aretz b'lti ha'mishpat. And I think you see it in the Torah. The Torah, again, don't hold me to this, but the Torah spends all this time dealing with Nezikin in a way that it doesn't spend time dealing with, Hilchos Shabbos. It's not because Hilchos Shabbos doesn't matter. My sense is, I think the Torah, and here I'm really speculating, I think the Torah wanted to make the point that you might have thought, this isn't the core of Halacha. The core of Halacha is Abbas Hashem. The core of Halacha are religious topics. This is secular, right? Any society would have to deal with this. I think the Torah says, no, I want to let you know that Torah and Halacha isn't just Isser V'Heter, isn't just Kosher and Treif and Tameh and Tahor. The Torah is about interpersonal relationships. The Torah is about building a society that's just. The Torah is about, the nitty-gritty of life. And I really think to a certain extent, that's a Chiddush. We think that, okay, stuff that's common sense is not governed by the Torah. Stuff that's common sense is governed by, secular law, what have you. I think the Torah is telling us, no. Look at how, Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, look at how much time I'm spending describing the nitty-gritty of different forms of damages. Because that's at the core of the Torah.
Because it's at the core of the human
society.
This
agreed.
Condition.
But I think we instinctively think that here's an example. Anybody ever hear of the Sepoy Rebellion? It's a thing,
yes,
that I know.
1858.
Okay. Okay, don't show off. Just tell us what it is. It's Pakistan.
The Muslims, they would bury them.
It's Pakistan versus,
Well, it wasn't in Pakistan, but the British wanted.
Okay, good. Right. But basically, the war was fought over the course of years.
Yeah.
By a bunch of Muslims in short white pants with really long rifles, killing each other mostly for money,
right?
Because they were mercenaries. Okay.
So
now the way they did it,
right,
here's a fascinating thing.
Okay.
The way they did it was you had to put gunpowder. Okay. They were in little bags.
Yeah.
You had to lick it to close it, and you put it in the bag, and then you could shoot and kill somebody. Okay. It turned out at some point that the bags were coated in pig lard. So the war had to stop.
Yeah.
Now, they're killing each other. Right? They're killing each other.
But
what's a pig lard? The answer is, there are certain things that seem religious. Mm-hmm. Right? So, for example, I am to believe, most poskim now believe, that smoking is asur. Right? V'nishmartem ol d'nafsho seichem. Right? But you go, let's say, you go to Meir Sharm, you find people who smoke. Right? They're really, how could that be? My theory is, it doesn't seem like halacha to them, mm-hmm, right? If the Surgeon General says that it's usur, that's rational. That's not halacha. That's not halacha. What I'm saying, I think that's wrong. The Torah is saying the fact that you would have come to it on your own anyway, the fact that any just society would prohibit people from damaging property of other people, doesn't mean that it's extrajudicial to the Torah. It's at the core of the Torah. And the Torah spends all this time describing it for that reason.
The fire case almost sounds like an onus case. Is this a fire that should
no,
not
so again,
be set?
We're not doing the details. The answer is if it's an onus, you're going to be potter. Mm-hmm. But if it's the kind of thing that you're right,
have known about
it, the difference is as follows. If the wind moves it, that's something that's anticipatable. If a hurricane comes, then you'll be potter. But that's all the details. Okay?
Why did it also reasonable? People smoke all the time. and they shouldn't do it. There's no question about it. But they so
okay.
They smoke it all the time. So what? Why is it also?
You're working backwards. People cheat on their wives all the time. Mm-hmm. So why is it also? Because it's wrong.
Yeah.
The fact that people do
one
it.
But one cannot do the other.
People do it.
I agree. The number of people who do it doesn't affect whether it's mutter or
husband. More adults.
My understanding is that there are probably millions of people who cheat on their taxes. Nobody thinks it makes it mutter. It's just that they do it. Okay, let's run quickly through some Rambams if we have time, just to see how the Rambam has each of these categories. Okay, first look at number 7. It's just the easy way to do it. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Nizkei Mammon says there are 4 halachos here. Right? Aleph is din hashor, bet is din hahever, assume that that's a person for this purpose, gimel is din habor, public nuisance, dal is din hahavara, causation, fire. So again, the Rambam counts them as 4 separate ones. Now, let's read. First halach in Hilchos Nizkei Mammon, source number 8. Kol nefesh chaya, which by the way is just a cool phrase. Right? Where do you know the phrase nefesh chaya?
Rashi.
Where?
Other Rishon.
Then in the Mabul also. Oh. They brought Kol Nefesh Chaya, which you would think means anything, animal or human. It's just a funny phrase. Kol Nefesh Chaya, Shehi Birshuto Shel Adam, that belongs to a person. Shehi Zika Kama, right? You own any Nefesh Chaya that does damage. Haba'alim Chayavim L'Shalem, says the Rambam. The owner has to pay. Sharei Mamonom Hizik. Right? It's like a standard. If your mamon is mazik, then you have to pay. Shenemar ki gof shorish is shor eyu, echad hashor ve echad shar behema chayava of, which I would read as animals or cars or anything else, right? Although they're not a nefesh chaya. So the shar behema chayava of, and the Rambam says lo diber katuv bishor ela behove. The Rambam says the whole discussion, the reason why the category is called shor, is just, at the time, that was the animal that was most likely to do damage, right? Your cow didn't generally do damage, your shor generally did damage. But so the word shor shouldn't be read as axe, it should be read as anything you own that causes damage, or that's likely to cause damage. Okay, that's shor. Number 9. Okay, still in Perek Aleph Nizkei Mammon. Shlosha avot nizikim b'shor. The Rambam then goes on to say, there are three, the word shor encompasses 3 different types of damage. Hakeren, vahashen, vaharegel. Now I'll explain. Keren, shen, vaharegel. The Rambam's going to say, toldot, so I'll do it outside, so we'll run out of time. What does keren mean? What is a damage via keren?
Something.
Right, it means the animal intentionally tries to damage. Yeah. So there, you have the question that Bruce raised before, well, do I have to worry about every axe? Right, my axe is kind of docile, right? So there you have the concept of tam and muad. Meaning, has he done it before? Was the reason for you to think that you have to worry about, in which case you have to take better precautions, or not? But the other ones are interesting. So that's called keren. Now, what's the other one called? Shane. What's shane?
Well, the animal normally uses it. It eats. It uses
right.
It.
It's not biting. Right. Biting is keren.
Right.
Shane is... I brought my cow, you know, into your yard. Well, I had to know that it's going to eat your strawberries. It's a cow. That's what it does. Okay? Regel, the same thing. What's regel?
It walks and tramples.
Meaning, right, if I bring my axe into your backyard, he's going to trample your garden. And it's I can't claim afterwards, how could I have known he was going to do it? Right? So those are, within the category of shor, you have the shor doing something unusual. Right? That's keren. He gores somebody and you have to know. Right? Which, so for example, if you buy a pit bull, it's muad immediately. If you have a python, it's muad immediately. You don't go afterwards. It's a pit bull, for God's sakes. Right? It eats babies. That's what it does. So, fine. But, was that wrong? Should have said
yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay,
it's
fine. Yeah, just erase that. Okay, Shane Varegel. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on. Last one, 10. Well, not last one. Bor. Okay, Echad Achofer Bor, Birshus Harabim, whether you dug a pit in the middle of the highway, O Achofer Birshuto, Upatach Lushut Harabim. You did it in your backyard, but it's open to people to fall in. O patach l'shut chaveiro, or to your friend's yard. O shechafar patach b'rishuto, v'hifkir rishuto. right? And you basically denounced ownership. V'lo yifkir bo, ha'reiz yachay bin zakaf. So that's basically, you know, you, what's a good example? You are building a nuclear weapon in your backyard, okay? No, and now all your neighbors get radiation poisoning. So you go, listen, it was in my yard, I can do what I want in my yard. The answer is no, you can't, right? You have to anticipate the damage it's going to do to other people. Same thing in 11. Hamadlik betok sadech haveiro ve'avra v'hidlika. You're making a, you know, you're making a Lag BaOmer bonfire in your backyard. Okay, but whatever. It's terrible. It's dry season. The wind comes, and it lights something else on fire. So then chayav l'shalem nezek shalem. You have to pay because the pasuk says ki tektei eshu matzak kozim shalem shalem amavir etavira v'habeira v'habiira fire me'avot nizikim. Okay, so here you see, whether it's four categories or more, you see that the Torah invested in this. The Rambam counts them as four separate categories. And Bizman Hazeh, if you go to Bezdin, right, they use these as the models of imposing punishment, right? I say punishment. It's either compensation, but it could be a knas. It could be, you know, that if you did something wrong, they make you pay because you did something wrong and not just for the damage. Okay, now, I want to end with, it was all pretty interesting and helpful to try to see a big picture of it. The last Sefer HaChinuch, I said before that you can't make a citizen's arrest. But the Sefer HaChinuch raised the possibility of something very close to it. Look at source number 13. He says, the first thing he says, Ve'ela hadinim hanikraim dine knasot. He says, these are fines. Meaning, a regular Bezdin can't really impose them. Kfar amarnu she'ein danin oto ela beitin hasmuchin u'be'eretz Yisrael u'me'eretz Yisrael. Right? For example, kefel, paying double for having committed a stolen something. That's a knas. You need a real Bezdin to impose that. But now the Chinuch opens us up to a whole new way of, let's call it self-help. He says, first of all, he says, aval hamazik chayav l'shalem b'nidei shamayim b'chol makom. If I damage your property, right, and there's no Bezdin to enforce it, first thing the Chinuch says is, I shouldn't think I got away with it, right? Because I am chayav midinei shamayim. It means that, technically speaking, I'm absolutely chayav. It happens to be that's not being enforced, and so if you don't believe in God, you're not a religious person, so you think you got away with it, but the Chinuch says you didn't get away with it. I promise you didn't get away with it. Now, how can I use this? How can this be helpful to me practically? Last phrase. V'im tafas hanizok, if you damage my property, and I go to your house, and I take something to pay me back, im tafas hanizok, ein motzi'in miyado b'shum makom. There is self-help. If I know that you damaged me, and you're not standing up to your obligation, the Chinuch says, you know, and it's dangerous because I don't know how this would actually play out. The Chinuch says, you know, I could take money from you, right? And presumably, then when you come and say, hey, you took money from me, I say, great, let's go to court. And in court, I'll explain that you smashed my laptop. And then I took $426 from you, which is the list price, you know, at Best Buy or whatever, right? And that's all I did. But the Chinuch now moved, you know, everything we saw till now was absolutely halachic, and this is what the court does. And the Chinuch says two last things. Let's say there's no court. First thing is, if you damage somebody else's property, bidei shamayim you're chayav, and you owe this money, which implies within it that if you're a person who cares about halacha and presumably morality, you actually leave a note on the car saying, listen, I didn't mean to do it. I hit this bump was caused by me. Here's my phone number, right? You know, that's the right thing to do. And by the way, those are the kinds of things that improve society. Because if somebody does that to you, you now realize that, you know, you don't have to be the god of that door, right? You don't have to be the, you know, I think if more people did it, it would just be a thing to do, right? God, I didn't mean to do it. I really didn't mean to do it. I'm letting you know. Call me up if there's money to be, you know. So first of all, morally, / bidei shamayim, that's the din. But the other thing that he says is there's self-help.
When did Chinuch live?
So since we don't know who he is, but almost certainly the 1400s in Spain.
It could be that he didn't have much faith in either a Jewish court system or the non-Jewish court system, and therefore self-help.
I don't want to read too much into it, and it's not like he's advocating.
Why would he ever say that? I mean, it's to be able to take the law in your own hands.
Okay, like obviously I put it on the sheet, so I think it's significant. Okay. I don't know how far to take it. I would rather tie it to the Chai Bidei Shamayim thing, meaning everything we said is, you know, is judgment, right? But there's something more to it. There's something to the fact that God cares about these things. And if you damage somebody else's property, even if a court can't enforce it, Bidei Shamayim you're chayv to, which might mean you're allowed to exercise some form of self-help. Okay, we have to figure out going forward whether we want to do each nezek separately. Yeah, I don't know. It's complicated. It's hard stuff. It might be interesting. It might be too much for us. As always, I will consult with the committee. And, you know,
Not really.
Do you have a minion?